Hello and welcome to the NSA Podcast, Season 7, Episode 10. I am Hybrid Mank, and in the room tonight we have Dr. Kev.
Good evening.
That's my pizza.
It is my pizza.
And Requiem.
Greetings, weebs.
Thank you very much. We are going to be, of course, talking about anime and anime-related things. And when we're done, we're going to talk about what we think are the essential shows of the spring season before next week we have our usual preview episode. So we can just dive right in. But first, housekeeping. Dr. Kev, I hear you wrote no less than 7,000 articles.
That's not quite true. I've had some holiday off work, so I caught up on some of the things I wanted to write about. So I've been going through Katsuhiro Otomo's filmography, so I wrote three different things about him, and I've restarted my trudge through Monogatari with a couple of articles about the final season, which is actually a lot better than the last one that I watched, which sort of derailed me for about a year and a half. But Tsuki Monogatari, crap. Owari Monogatari, much better.
What was the one with the man, the bad man?
The guy who's like an old tree or something.
It's not Aizen, that's Bleach. Is the guy? I remember that one being really.
He's
good.
Talking about the Connor, this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Kaiki. Yeah, he's in Nisei Monogatari and a couple of other ones as well. But
I think he also prominently starred in Owari Monogatari. Where he, no, it was the one before it, the one with the snake girl.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
The snake girl does something to him, I forgot.
Yeah.
Never actually watched it.
Oh, that's one of the better ones. Definitely pretty good. He turns out to be not such a bad guy after all. Spoilers.
I remember still being kind of a bad guy, but, you know, conflicted.
He's self-interested, but he does the right thing in the end.
So. Eventually.
Yeah. Some would say he's the best girl.
Who would say that? Give me names.
Hololive fans.
Yeah, probably. It's not my favorite girl.
Anyways, was there anything else that you wrote, Dr. Kev?
No, the other article is the collab, the spring 2022 shows you should be watching. This time there's 10, which is a pretty good number. The previous season we only had 6 because it was a pretty crap season. So go have a look at that. The various members of our Anite group have contributed to that, so it's a good read, definitely. Go have a look.
Nice. Yeah, there's one good piece and 9 okay pieces.
And one piece that came in late.
It was only 3 days late. Worked really hard.
Better than usual, whoever that was.
Yeah, whoever that guy was, I don't know.
Well, speaking of the current season, we can dive right in. Okay, so I think some of you have watched. I just recently watched Vampire in the Garden. It was like a 5-episode OVA on Netflix. Didn't even really hear about it until like last week. I'm like, oh, I should probably give this a shot because I love wit. It's weird because like after I finished it, I'm like, I think I like that, but I don't know if I have a lot to talk about because I feel like this is a story that's been done before.
And it it's been done many, many times.
Many times, and it just went by so fast. I don't know, Rick, what do you think?
Well, I haven't finished it. I only got through the first 2 episodes, but... it's like you said, this is ground that has been trod before. It's like, oh, she's not really the monster we thought they were, and oh, the situation's different than with that. Let's all go and try and live in harmony. Oh, people don't want to let us do that kind of story. But it was, I enjoyed it. It had a good atmosphere to it. The actual animation, I don't know. I could never quite completely get it behind it. It's a little too simplistic.
Yeah, the art style seems very iffy in screenshots, but like in motion, it looks pretty good.
It's okay. It just I don't know. It was a little too simplistic for me. But they do a hell of a job drawing like transformations into monsters and shit like that. So
yeah, it's It's got that whole dark thing where, like, oh, the main character doesn't really want to kill vampires because she sees the humanity in them, and then they have, like, this serum that they can inject themselves into. I'm like, well, now you're fucked, and they need to die. But I like the whole concept of, like, the big city. It was just, like, swarming with lights to, like, prevent them from getting in. Like, that was a cool aspect of the world, but then pretty much after the first episode, it's just like, oh, we're just kind of going on a road trip, and I guess I don't want to spoil anything else, but it just seems to kind of... And very abruptly, and I don't know if I love the ending, but it was pretty good overall.
It's worth watching.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially only being 5 episodes, it's quick. Especially, I mean, if you like vampires, it doesn't necessarily have the sexy boy vampires. It's a lot of ladies, and, I mean, borderline... Actually, no, it's not borderline. There is some Yuri themes, if you're into that, too.
Well, if you're into Yuri vampires, this is your area.
Yep.
Honestly, we've been getting a lot of Yuri undertones this entire season.
No Yuri anime. No dedicated, but like just some subtext here and there.
Yes. Lots of it.
What are some examples?
I'm sorry.
For so much
RPG Real Estate. I'm sorry. Those two, the blonde girl and the, you know, dark hair girl who run the agency, they are very obviously dating.
Yes.
The show refuses to just state it outright, but it's really obvious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's the whole stuff with Birdie Wing.
Yeah, Birdie Wing, very as strongly Yuri as possible.
Yes, yeah, very strong Yuri vibes.
Mm-hmm. Strong Yuri vibes when they're not doing cyborgs and VR golf and golf or die kind of stakes.
Or prosthetic golf arms.
They kind of toned it down after like she went to Japan, which, I mean, maybe we can transition into Birdie Wing just for a little bit, because she... Apparently this was in America, and then she went to Japan, and then she's speaking English all of a sudden, and they're like, I don't understand English. And then she's speaking Japanese, and she's like, wait, I guess I can speak Japanese. Like, that was it. They didn't explain it at all. Like, is this supposed to be some alternate world in a VR universe? I don't... Are they just going to gloss over that?
She's a genius.
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
It's fine.
No!
It's not.
He answers.
She's probably, I mean, like, secretly Japanese or something. I'm sure, like, one of her parents.
It makes as
Japanese
much sense as the cyborg golf arm and the secret underground golf courses. And
just a prosthetic.
And remember, she has amnesia, so, you know, she might well be.
Yeah, she just forgot that she spoke Japanese. She already spoke it and she forgot.
Yes. I forgot. Amnesia, the cause of and solution to all anime problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that show. It's so ridiculous. And you say that it's calmed down a bit, but, you know, they managed to make mini golf insane. So,
oh, yes.
And the two new female characters look like and are voiced by the same actresses as the two main characters from Kakegurui.
Oh my god, really? That's hilarious.
They have the same hairstyles, they have the same voices, they have the same relationship with each other. So it's clearly a reference.
Well, the mini golf, the girl that they encounter first, I believe that is the, I forget her name from Railgun, with the pigtails, and she's usually like a psycho lesbian in that show, and I love her.
The Judgment Lady.
I hope she's gonna be a bigger role. I don't think she will because she's like a side character, but I always like when she's in. You don't hear her that often.
Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't look it up. I'm just like confident that I'm right. So if I'm wrong, please.
Please leave a comment, like, and subscribe.
I'll open my DMs. Right at me. But yeah, Birdie's still good. I hope it continues to be wacky. They did not spend a lot of time in school, which is good. I'm like, I don't want this to be some school club anime. Just go back to being ridiculous with the mafia, killing people off shockingly and out of nowhere, and just do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit worried because we don't know if this is like a two core show, because we basically just started a new arc and we only have like 3 more episodes left, I believe. 3 to 2.
Yeah, we're going to have a tournament at some point. Like, they're going to have the doubles. I assume they're going to team up and then we'll have like a long ass tournament.
Well, several of the characters in the opening sequence haven't even turned up in the show yet. So
yeah.
I assume, because it's anime original, it's not based on anything. So, you know, who knows? Maybe this is going to keep going for seasons and seasons and seasons. That would be great. I'd be up for that.
Same here. It'd be amazing.
We know where this is. As long as it's not on Netflix, it will have its second season right away. Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. I love that the Japanese girl was just really excited to see the blonde girl, but won't like actually play golf against her now. She's just stringing her along. But she's really like, weird. I want to play golf with her for the rest of our lives. Like, all right, so they want to get married, basically. Or at least the Japanese girl does. The blonde-haired girl doesn't know any of this.
Take out already, yes. Jesus Christ.
And I just like how when they met again in Japan, the first thing she does is try to jump into Eve's arms. And like Eve's like, oh, shit, no. And just leaves her hanging. It's great.
That's so funny.
Oh, God. It's just, the show balances its comedy and it's just over the top action so well. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Then again,
sometimes I can't tell if they're aware of the joke or not. I think they are. But I think a lot of times it's just like, we're kind of an amateur studio and we're just doing it. Here's that same shot of us putting a pin into the ground that we used since episode one. I'm probably the only one that bothers, but
I think it's very calculated in its insanity and knows exactly what it's doing. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely
here just sitting around the writer's room going like, what's the dumbest possible way for this to go? Let's do that.
Yeah, the mafia boss says that has a glass cyborg arm. Yes, let's do that.
What if golf mafia?
Yes, what if golf mafia? And then they have the whole golf course randomizer.
Oh, that's amazing.
This is incredibly stupid, but oh my god, it'd be so awesome if it were real.
Roguelike golf, it's amazing.
And then you have to just think about how, like, the actual logistics of actually working something like that would be.
It's best not to think about it too hard, because the people who made it didn't think about it that hard. So.
Yeah, that was definitely the key driver behind the show was, oh, that'd be cool, it's stupid, but let's do it. Don't think about it, just write it.
Don't think, just feel.
Just make it cool. Who cares if it's logistically not feasible?
But the whole show is the rule of cool.
Yes.
Yep.
And Eve's just whole motto is like, she's firing bullets into her opponent with her golf shots.
Yeah. Seriously, this show just makes me grin from ear to ear. I look forward to every episode each week. It just makes me so happy.
It is so good. And surprisingly, there's basically no fan service in it as well. It's just like all Yu-Gi-Oh-esque golf escapades. It's amazing. There's no fluff in it. It's just all fun, all the time, all relevant.
Well, sometimes it gets real dramatic, you know.
Yes, but that's
like, we gotta save the house. Okay, we're leaving the house and buying a new one. Oh, okay. Let's move on. I want an update. I've been hearing that the Shenmue anime is actually pretty good overall. What do you guys think? Is it just Rec watching this? Who else is watching it?
I finished watching it as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. It was
competent.
Yeah.
Did it dip into the second game, or is it all just the first game?
No.
It's the first two games.
Okay. Almost makes me want to go and play Shenmue 3.
Don't do it.
But almost.
Don't. Save yourself trouble.
But
I'd be happy if they just continued the story instead of a game just as an anime. I would watch that. I would watch another season, definitely.
Yeah, I think I prefer that they just made the story in anime. So I don't want to slog through Shenmue 4.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah, just like the games, this story ended with no real resolution.
Fantastic.
And one thing I thought was great about when you put it in anime form, it just points out just how unbelievably stupid the main character is. He's so fucking dumb. He falls for the same shit over and over again.
He's totally clueless with women as well.
It's like all these chicks just hurling themselves vagina first at him. They're just bouncing off his shield of obliviousness. Oh, look, I'm going to walk up to these gang members. Hello, gang members. I need to talk to your boss. Oh, sure. Come into this dark alley. No problem. Oh, somebody hit me in the back of the fucking head with a crowbar. That's the third time this week.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. It's great. I love it.
Do you find the sailors ever?
He did. He found the sailors a lot faster in the anime than we did in the game. I'll tell you that. Because he didn't get distracted by forklift raising. They cut the forklift raising. That really upset me.
Oh, that's like isn't the forklift racing like one of the most iconic parts of Shenmue, though?
Yeah.
He literally races one in the Sonic Racing game.
I know, right? That's why I was upset. I was like, you guys can't cut. Because they had him learning how to use a forklift, but they didn't do the races.
Do they have
stereotypes? We'll do an extra OAV like episode.
There has to be. Give me an ONA.
All right. Should I watch it? Is it worth, what is it, like 12 episodes?
I mean, how do you feel about Shenmue generally? Have you played it before?
I have nostalgia for it because I love the Dreamcast. However, I hated playing that game 90% of the time.
If you have nostalgia for it, then I think you probably enjoy it.
But yeah. I also have nostalgia for the terrible dub.
I watched it subtitled, so it was okay. I don't know what the dub is like. I think you have to watch it on...
It's very, very stilted. Like, if you've seen any English footage of the games, it's very stilted. You just...
Yeah, the
they hired whoever they could find in Japan at the time, and then they brought him back for Shenmue 3 and, like, said, just do the same thing as before, and it's just, it doesn't work anymore. We've moved past this.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to put on the my maybe list. I'm interested.
It's a good maybe.
Yeah, a lot of these shows we've already talked about, but since this is the wrapping up of the spring season, is there anything you feel like we haven't really touched upon at all?
Yeah, mentioning? I don't think anybody's talked about Dance Sewer.
I wonder why.
T-Grip's been on. It's freaking fantastic, Rick.
Oh, wow.
I just started watching
it. All I saw was ballroom dancing and giant dragons.
It's not ballroom dancing. It's ballet. Okay, bear with me.
Oh, it's ballet dancing. That's much better.
Okay, but the manga that's based on this is for a seinen audience. So this is targeted at adult men. This is not like some kind of crappy shoujo thing. It's like a sports anime except with dancing. But it also looks at things like toxic masculinity and people not being able to do the things that they love because of peer pressure and family pressure. And it's got quite a kind of complex love triangle thing going on. There's some really shitty parents and shitty relatives and child abuse, but it's also got the most gorgeous animation. I mean, it's incredible. This is movie quality animation every week. There is a lot of rotoscoping, but they have real live professional ballet dancers that they're using as references for this, and it shows because it is beautiful. But it's also the way it's structured. It's like a sports anime. There's cliffhangers every time. There's things that the main characters are striving towards. There's always setbacks and there's drama, and it's really compelling. I watched all 10 episodes in the space of a couple of days. It's really, really good. and just because it's ballet, don't let that put you off, because it kind of really goes into all the athleticism and the effort that these people put in, and just the sheer pain. It looks painful, the things that they do to themselves. I really like this show. This is probably one of the best shows this season. So if you're not watching it and you're put off just because it's ballet, well, that's just because you're a toxic male.
Whoa. Not true. Is it all dudes? All dude cast?
There's pretty ladies as well.
I don't know if they're pretty. Wow, you said that, not me.
They've got big eyes. They've got huge eyes. They're all very skinny.
Giant, long necks.
It does look like an anime designed by Clamp, although it's not. But I guess they're all long and spindly, I guess, so that they can be animated well. But it's mainly about the boy is the main character, but there's a main female character as well, and they all get explored pretty well. It's got some really good character moments in it. It's really good. I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, doesn't the main girl like show the main character her panties in the first episode or something?
Whoa!
I don't remember that. There's no fan service in this.
Okay, that's
this
good
is
to hear.
Absolutely straight-laced, serious drama. It's very good. It's very compelling.
Right. That's my pizza. What terrible anime do you think is good?
Terrible anime that I think is good. I'd say. Well, I can't say Love After World Domination because everybody here would probably agree that's really good. So that's probably Mob Isekai is pretty good. Like, unlike many of the other isekais that kind of are put out on the market, Mob Isekai feels different because it really digs into the psychology and the psychology of the side cast, and the main character isn't overpowered, but he is pretty much the strongest guy there. But it feels like it's more a effort due to his thinking and strategizing rather than just him being overpowered. So the main disappointing thing about the anime right now is just the animation really isn't up to snuff with the quality of the writing. So it just kind of, the anime feels very stiff and sometimes slideshow-y at points. And when there is action, it's very stiff. So it'd be nice to see the show with like a bit better animation or, yeah, a bit better animation. But otherwise, I think the storyline is very engaging, even though there's some problematic, some issues I have with it. So yeah, if you're kind of just sick and tired of the just generic overpowered male gets transported to an isekai world, I would recommend watching The Executioner's Way of Life. But if you want something that is a little more rough around the edges, then I would say check out Mob Isekai. And just to clarify, when I say Mob Isekai, I mean the World of Atomy games is rough for mobs. If that's the correct title.
You cut off entirely for that part, so. You say it again.
Oh, what part did I get cut off on?
You called it the title. And, yeah.
Oh yeah, the title of Mob Isekai. Well, the full title of the Mob Isekai is The World of Otome Games is Rough for Mobs.
Mm.
Yep. So
and
yeah.
I believe before that you said if you want to watch a show that's good, watch this. But if you want something rough around the edges, watch this. Who does that?
Well, you know.
Unless you want to make fun of it, I guess.
Nobody we know. Yep.
Well, if.
I can't agree to
tell a joke.
I think it sucks. So it sucks bad.
Sucks bad. Mm-hmm. What's is it because of the animation? Like he said, was
animation is really rough. Especially these last few episodes, they've just completely given up.
Yeah.
It's pretty. But there's this one in this last episode where he captures a princess and demands she turn over her magic flute, and the animation of her throwing him the flute is so fucking lame. It's like a frame and a half.
Fantastic.
No, it's so bad. At least it's not Ari Froeta bad, and that show got a second season somehow.
It's not Ari Froeta, but it's not nearly as amusingly stupid as Ari Froeta either.
I don't know. I think it was
Ari Froeta's second season was great compared to the first. It was a massive improvement.
Well, it's not really hard to do that when the first season is so bad.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a high bar to overshoot, but they did it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Mob Isekai.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think. We could probably save a lot of like the really good stuff for our, you know, our top shows of the season. Rec, do you have a show you think needs some talking about?
Well, yeah, there's a couple. One of them is The Heart of Ninja Tsubaki. No one's talking about that show. The only person who talked about it on the podcast was me, complaining about how scantily clad the girls were back in the first when the first episodes dropped. I still wish they would wear more clothes, considering they're all like 11 or 12 years old. But when it's not like it's got two jokes, right? The one part of the show is when they do slice of life hijinks around the girls living in this ninja village, and the other one is the main girl getting all flustered about the idea of men. Those parts suck. When it focuses on just a bunch of goofy girls hanging out in their ninja village, it's actually pretty funny. It's a fun little slice of life. It's not great, but it's a fun little time kill. Like, oh yeah, that was an amusing episode. Mm-hmm. The other one that nobody's talking about is Dawn of the Witch.
Yeah. Watched the first three episodes of, and then I was like, this is a good anime, but there's so much other good stuff this season as well.
I really loved Grimoire of Zero, which is what this is a sequel to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really like the world it's in, and the plot isn't moving very fast, but the characters are all pretty amusing. It's the second horniest show this season. It is an extremely horny show.
What's the horniest show this season?
I would say the horniest show this season is RPG Real Estate.
Oh, yeah.
Is that just me? For the horniness?
RPG Real Estate can be pretty funny or amusing, too, but it's just another fantasy slice of life time kill that has the characters wear like their boobs out. For no reason.
Yeah.
Like, the main girl, her official, like, adventuring uniform has, like, hooker heels for no apparent reason.
Really? Is that the witch girl, like, or the fighter girl?
Yeah, the witch girl. Look at the watch her wear her. Look at her shoes at some point. You'd be like, why the fuck are you wearing that in your adventuring gear?
Oh my
god. But it's still like, it's fun. Like, it's one of those shows you're like, oh, that was an amusing 24 minutes, but like, it's not going to add or detract anything from your overall life. One of those shows, you're like, oh yeah, it was a chill way to spend some time.
Yeah.
But I really liked, I like Dawn of Witch. Like I said, it's really fun. I really like the world that they've got with you know, magic and sorcery between being two different things, like that conflict between the witches and the church, the idea of like the beast men, you know, being mixed in with society. I don't know. I liked it. It's slow moving, but it's good. Also, I'm quitting Heroing. I feel like a lot of people dropped off of it, but it, like the last four or five episodes had some reveals that really added a lot of layers to what's been going on.
I agree. I'm still watching it. I was getting really bored with it, and I almost dropped it. But I'm glad I've stuck with it, because it has got fairly interesting. I think some of the character choices are baffling. But apart from that, it does have some interesting ideas, so I'll stick with it to the end.
Well, the main character's choices, I think they make sense in from a certain angle. Like, that dude's just tired.
Yeah. They're not really consistent with his previous actions in the show, however.
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Right.
If he was just trying to find someone worth killing him, he needed to make somebody worth killing him. So he needed them to work better. Mm-hmm. But like, it's true, if you watch like the first five or six episodes, it just feels like this goofy, weird fantasy workplace comedy, and then the last like four or five have really flipped it around by adding so much more context to that guy's life.
Yeah.
So if you fell off it, come back to it.
I almost wish they'd done some of that a bit earlier, because it was just quite boring for a while after the first couple of episodes.
Yeah. I really liked it. The episodes with him and like the quiet guy weren't very good, but I like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, oh, I watched the first episode of it. It didn't really grip me, and I kind of felt the main character was kind of like too skeezball-y for me, especially when he was like sexually harassing that one glasses character.
It's well, like, she's a succubus, so he was just messing with her.
I guess it doesn't really change what he did. Like, the context doesn't really change that. Still kind of skeezy.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he messed with her a little bit at the beginning. The reveals about who he actually is even contextualizes that interaction.
I'll take your word for it.
I know. I think it's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was that?
I'm quitting Heroing. That one's on High Dive.
Okay. Yeah, which is also the home of Yo Boy Kong Ming and the Executioner's Way of Life.
Both by the way, High Dive, can you get a fucking app on the PS5 or PS4 or somewhere? Switch, give me anything so I can stop streaming from my phone.
I suspect they've probably tried with the PS4, but Sony probably sees them as a competitor because they own Funimation and Crunchyroll.
That's true.
So why would they let High Dive on?
So it's just so annoying to have to launch it from my phone every time and stream to a Chromecast.
I use my Apple TV for High Dive. It works fine that way.
I do not own an Apple TV.
Oh well.
So I was kind of on the fence of watching Aharen-san. Has that been consistently pretty good?
Oh, it's great. I love that. I wrote the piece for that in the collab. I love that show.
It's pretty much a comedy, right? Or a slice of life comedy? Was it?
Yeah, it's a slice of life. It's a rom-com, kind of. It's just that at the beginning, it's way more comedy than romance. And then right here at the end, it's starting to tilt the other direction a little bit. But it's really, really funny. At least I think it is.
I find it quite funny. It's a bit slow-moving at times, and it's a bit repetitive as well. But I can't watch it if I'm even slightly tired, because it just lulls me to sleep. But if I am awake, then it's fine.
Okay.
But if I watch it in the evening, I just can't. This has to be a morning show for me. Just maybe not necessarily a bad thing. It's quite relaxing to watch. It's just, I can't survive more than about 3 minutes. It's a really good insomnia cure.
Yeah, It's really cute. I love those two characters. They had a Beyblade parody episode.
They did.
It's a lot of jokes with the two characters like deadpanning them, like not facially reacting to what's going on. That just makes it funnier. I don't know. It's humor, so as always, your mileage varies. Like, it either works for you or it doesn't. But it makes me laugh really good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that out. This has been, like, a lot of good shows this season, so I think I might have to catch up on a couple of them. Maybe Shenmue, maybe Iron, I don't know. Man, we still have a lot to talk about.
Just watch something, Jesus.
I've watched, damn you, like, 12, 15. Usually I have, like, 20, so I guess this is kind of light for me, but...
Yeah, and we can't blame you. The season of anime is just really good.
Go watch some good anime and stop watching Love Live.
I can't. Look, there's like 12 of them now. Look, you brought it up, so I'm talking about it. There's two Love Lives right now. You have the huge cast and you have the smaller cast. Usually Love Live is 9 characters. Nijigasaki, they added 3 more. And I will say, I don't know if they like took feedback, but they're doing... group stuff, like they were doing solo acts the first season. It was just kind of like, man, like I want to see them as a group. And now they have songs where like all 12 of them are singing together. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm here for. And the characters, they're fun. I mean, they're always like super sweet and innocent. There's usually not a whole lot of turmoil. It's like, oh, am I good enough to be a school idol? Like that's pretty much as far as it goes half the time. But I don't know. It's a good show to just like eat a loud snack. So you have to worry about people paying attention.
This is a good loud snack show.
I call it a Triscuit show. That's usually what I do. But the songs are pretty good, too. I don't know. It's all right. I think the other Love Live is better, though. The one with the more condensed cast. So I think that's coming back next season. But if you start in Nijigasaki, I would say this season seems a little better than the first one. I still don't think it's amazing. And yeah, I probably should be watching other shows instead. But what can I say? A bunch of these other ones we can talk about later in the top shows. But I do want to know about Ghost in the Shell 2045.
Am I the only one who's watched that?
Plastic action Barbie.
Yeah. You know, once you get over the plastic action Barbie-ness of it, it's a pretty decent show. It's probably better than the first season. Not in terms of visuals, they're just the same. But the story is very interesting. And it does feel like Standalone Complex, like, you know, the original show from 20 years ago, like, just updated a bit. Because it's the same writer.
Oh my god, was that 20 years ago?
It was 20 years ago, Rick.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, I remember importing DVDs from Hong Kong with terrible subtitles.
I did the same.
I could watch that, did you?
Yeah, you had a butt. Not Bato, it was butt. But it's your old pal Butt.
Yeah.
The timing was like a minute off sometimes.
Yeah.
Butt, it's get down, they're shooting Butt.
And it said the foreign minister, it was the minister of foreign, and it was like, oh my goodness.
Minister of foreign. Hello, I'm the minister of foreign, how can I help you?
It was terrible, but I desperately wanted to see what happened next. I love that show so much. So, you know, I was really happy that they made a sequel. I'm not happy that they made it look so
plasticky. Oh my
god,
it was 20 years ago. Holy shit.
It's terrible.
It was October 2002.
But the thing that I found really interesting about this is in the first season, they introduced this new pink-haired character called Purin Izaki, who was like just the most annoying, just sort of anime-esque character. She was loud and annoying and gesticulated far too much and was like really like all over Bato, and it was so creepy. I really didn't like her. And then they go and make her the best character in the whole thing. It's like, oh, so that was deliberate. They were trolling us with that. So I don't really want to spoil why that is, but there are some really tragic sort of tear-inducing stuff that happens in this, and some sort of existential horror. Like, oh!
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell has always been good at the existential horror.
Yeah. So I very much appreciated this. I felt the ending was a bit of a cop-out. I don't really... Possibly because I didn't understand it. I watched it going, what the hell actually just happened? I don't know. I had to go and look up other things online to try and find out if anybody else actually understood it. So, I mean, the thing about Ghost in the Shell is it does kind of cover some really quite complex stuff, you know. And it can be a bit hard to follow because of that. But I don't think it was hard to follow in this case because I'm dumb. I think it's because the writer just did not communicate his ideas correctly. You know, he really makes things overly complicated and vague at times, and it really bugs me.
Oh, yeah. I really dislike that type of writing style because it just kind of makes everything kind of feel floaty.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that the ending of this feels kind of floaty and like, well, what happened? Was any of this of any consequence? What does this mean for any of the characters? And I don't know.
I feel like Ghost in the Shell kind of always ends like that, though.
You may be right.
The endings are never like definitive, like and that's the end of that case. Like it's always kind of like the same thing happened with the. The Laughing Man and the other thing in Stanley Complex too. I was like, oh, it's over. What was the point of that exactly?
I guess they were the same writer. So yeah, maybe he's just got a way of writing and he's just not improved in any way.
He just doesn't believe in definitive endings.
Yeah. I mean, he's really good at setting things up and adding interesting moral conundrums and really awesome concepts. And then it just kind of falls apart in terms of a coherent story towards the end. But apart from that, it's really good. And I really enjoyed my time with it otherwise. I definitely recommend it as long as you're just aware that it's not perfect and it's very plasticky.
I want to try and watch it, but like every time I see the trailer, the visuals just make me not want to. I just can't.
But the thing is, it's not like the really shitty anime CG where it's like really jerky and unnatural looking. It's incredibly smooth. It looks the backgrounds and everything are beautiful. This is obviously. They had to put a lot of money into this. It's just the characters, just they do look like Barbie dolls. So, and you just have to get over that somehow. And just smear some Vaseline on your spectacles or something. You'll be fine.
Watch it on a CRT.
Yeah.
I wish I had a CRT.
Oh, I got one and it's fantastic. I fell off of Blade Runner Black Lotus because I did not like the look and the animation style of the characters, even though the story was interesting.
Yeah. That was the same writer and director.
Really?
Yes, same guy. It's Sola Digital Arts that made that as well, so it was the same production company.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like with Berserk 2016. Like, if I can't get behind the way the characters are looking and moving, it just really turns me off. I want to watch the show, though. Yeah. Maybe someday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I got a couple things I can bring up, but we don't really want to do, like, rapid fire. Hey, this show's good. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else before we move on to news that we think is worth mentioning?
If I did, you got me to watch your boy Kong Ming.
We can talk about Kong Ming.
Your boy!
This is when it started. It's so frustrating because I hate opening up High Dive.
I mean, there are alternatives. Kong Ming is great. I thought when they were focusing on... Oh, man, what's the rapper kid's name?
Kabitajin.
I love the way Kong Ming says his name. Mm. That was like, I don't really like this as much. I prefer Eiko's story. And then when she... befriended that other character, which I guess we're not going to spoil because a lot of people haven't watched it yet, but that relationship's really great. And when she sings, it's really nice. And they had that whole I'm trying to dodge around specifics, but they had that whole interaction with like scan the QR code. The thing that really bothered me was like, this is not how social media works. There's like a crowd of people. How are you getting 70,000 likes in a minute? Like, please tell me, Kome, I need the clout. I don't know how you do this. I couldn't even focus on the episode because it made no sense to me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I asked Hybrid, why should I watch this? And he just sent me a message that was like, this is the opening sequence.
Have you seen the opening?
Yeah, that was
why. Bang, bang.
Oh, this is a cover of like Ukrainian, not Ukrainian, what was it? Oh, some kind of Eastern European pop, Hungarian. It's Hungarian pop. It's like, this can't be
better,
bad.
By the way.
Yeah, the Japanese version is better. Mm-hmm. Much better. And it's like, well, it can't be bad if it has a cover of a Hungarian pop song. And you were right, it was great.
Yeah, I really like it. I said it before, I think this is the best thing PA Works has done since Shirobako. Not to say that the other shows they've done have been bad, but this one resonates with me a lot more than those other shows have. Is there anything else to say about that? Without spoiling anything, it's hard. So
Yeah,
so instead of us talking about it, go watch your boy Kong Ming. It's really good.
Yeah.
Or Paripikome! welcome.
I can't laugh because I don't understand the reference.
It's fine. It's just basically a spot-on reference to the commercial break.
Ah.
That's all it is.
The eye catch.
Spot-on. Much like Venus Line.
Venus Line!
Venus Line! Such a good
show. I gave you two last time. You're not getting another one.
You should watch it, Requiem.
But what, your boy?
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't on High Dive, and I didn't hate fucking with the High Dive app so much. I mean, that's why I haven't finished Executioners, is because I'm like, I can only put up with that shit for so long. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
back to like, Crunchyroll, which works on all my devices.
You can't like I want to your TV somehow.
Yeah, I stream it to my Chromecast from the app, but it's a little jerky. I have some sound issues occasionally, and for some reason, I have set the High Dive app to white colored subtitles 100 times, and yeah, whenever, and it works in the app, but every single time I cast it, the fucking subtitles are yellow, and it drives me crazy.
That old school DVD look?
Yeah, those old yellow subtitles. I fucking hate it.
Damn.
It's just such a small thing, but I really hate it. Mm.
Sorry for you and your subtitles.
Yeah, and I haven't watched it yet because High Dive, and I can't get it onto my giant ass, like 32-inch TV, and that really annoys me because I don't want to... I want to watch animes on a giant ass TV rather than my small ass monitors.
Yes.
Editor's note: can we just remove TV from the last two sentences there? Thank you. All right, let's move on to news. Some things happened. For once, things happened.
Things.
Let's just go down the list in the order that we have it.
All right.
Starting with the most important news, which I actually just found out today. I didn't even realize that. Sound Euphonium is getting a third season. One of my favorite.
Why?
Shut up. One of my favorite KyoAnnies. Possibly one of my top 10 anime of all time. One of the best female protagonists in any anime ever. It's going to be focusing on Kumiko, which I'm surprised because usually when a series goes on for more than two seasons, they're like, oh, we're going to dive into the side characters. But they already kind of did that with some movies. Liz and the Bluebird, I think, was one of them. But yeah, I'm really excited. And they're also doing a theatrical OVA, which I don't know if that's going to be theatrical in America, but I will absolutely want to see that in theaters.
Why?
So besides Requiem, what do you guys think?
I've never seen that show.
Oh, don't. My God. Do I have to show you the intro? Is that how it works?
Don't. Yeah, what? If you talk about an insomnia cure, Jesus Christ.
Rec,
the single
why
most
do you
boring
dislike-
anime I've ever sat through.
You watched the whole thing, though.
I watched most of season one. I gave up about episode 8 because I was just like, God, I hate this. Nothing happens.
It's
so well animated. Nothing happens.
The characters.
Who
you get to follow their
gives
story.
A shit about these? Oh, they're going to play in a band and
I do.
They act
Many
like they may
do.
Bang each other, but they never will. They say, what is the point of this? I fucking hate it.
There are euphoniums that make sounds.
Yes, yes. They all sit there and they all play in a band, and that's great. And that's the point of the show. Like, woohoo, we sure do love playing in this band. God forbid a plot happened at any point.
There was a plot. It was a school thing, and they went to the recitals, and their relationships were formed. What do you need to happen? Is school going to blow up?
No, if something had exploded, or like one of them turned out to be like a spy or from another world or something, anything, give me something.
That's not how...
And it wasn't even funny. Like it was like I can handle slice of life if it's funny. Like I need you got to give me something.
Yeah, he wants underground illegal euphonium plating competitions.
Oh, did you tell me that wouldn't make it so much better?
That would be pretty good.
What if one of them had like a prosthetic arm for playing a euphonium?
Can we just
but
remake
Venus
this
line on a euphonium? Give me Venus Line in the phone.
I think that's a golf term. So, anyways, I think Kumiko carries the show. I think her moy-ass character friends don't really, but like her Yuri subtext stuff was enough for some people to keep with the show. And then they realized, oh, this is actually a genuinely really good show, which is good because in the second core they kind of killed that and said, no, she likes the teacher, damn it. But for the most part, I just like how she's a character that's really believable. She acts different around different people, and she's like an introvert, and I'm always fascinated by how anime handles introverts. Like, the Yuru camp. You like Yuru camp? They just go camping. Is that like less interesting than people having recitals
Yes, no, it's much more interesting because those characters are fun and the show is funny.
In that show too. That's true.
Like if someone in Euphonium got nailed in the stomach by a flying dog on a leash at some point, then maybe I would have been into it.
More flying dogs. Gotcha.
The Euphonium needs more. Give me some. Get Rin in Euphonium and I'll watch it.
Anyways, for people with taste, 2023 and 2024.
One of nobody with taste work. Listens to this podcast.
That's actually very true. There's so many better. No, anyways, moving on to the next topic we got. Dr. Kev, what do you have for us? Well,
I'm quite excited that there's going to be, for the first time ever, an official UK release of The Incredible Captain Tyler on Blu-ray. I've heard so much about this anime, I've never watched it. It's never been legally available in the UK in any way, and it is coming courtesy of Anime Limited, who I think are just releasing a version of the Right Stuff version that came out in the US recently. So in August, so I guess that's what I will be doing in a couple of months' time, is watching that. Hooray!
Yeah, I can't believe I can't believe that you've never ever gotten Irresponsible Captain Talor.
Never, ever, in any form. Nope.
That boggles my mind. That show has been out forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, technically, he could access it via illegally. That's another thing.
It just bothered, like they didn't even give you VHS releases.
Nope, we didn't get that. I mean, the UK anime market is much smaller than the US market, for one.
Yeah, so I get it, but that was just, it's amazing.
We don't always get some of the older stuff.
We're in for a treat, man, because Irresponsible Captain Tyler, or Talor, there was a disagreement over how it's pronounced. That show is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard you talk about it before, like, why don't I get to see that?
Yeah, and if you don't like it, you can disappoint Rec like I did with Outlaw Star.
You don't like Outlaw Star?
Yeah, he doesn't like Outlaw. You're dead to me.
What the hell's wrong with you?
See?
Pox on your house.
That's another show I've never seen, but you know, I do actually have that on disc. It's a part.
Let
of
me know when you watch it. You'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, that's one of the shows that me and Gugs actually agree on.
Yeah, it's the opening for Outlaw Star is freaking amazing.
Oh yeah, it's one of the iconic openings of the 90s.
Oh, yeah, so good. Absolutely love that.
790! Now it's in my head, thanks.
You're welcome.
There we go, Google that. And in the meantime, we'll get back to the news with That's My Pizza.
Yes, so, looks... apparently Netflix is going to be actually making a collection of anime adaptations of multiple Junji Ito stories. And it's called... Japanese Tale. It's called Junji Ito Maniac, Japanese Tales of the Macabre, which sounds like a news article, but it's actually the title of the animated series where all these these stories will be contained in. In any case, it's being developed with Netflix, and how do you guys feel about this? Because I'm still a little bit of apprehensive because we actually haven't seen any of the animation or the acting for it. It's just like kind of an announcement for the show.
I
just remember how the Junji Ito collection, the anime from 2018, turned out, and it really did a disservice to Ito's work. But then again, it's really hard to adapt his works because a lot of the appeal of Ito's works is the artistry. It's just really hard to replicate that in anime form.
Yeah, Junji Ito is one of my very favorite manga artists. I think he's fantastic, even though he's quite disturbing. And I didn't watch that 2018 show because it looked terrible. Was it as long ago as that? I thought it was.
It was 2018.
Was it really? Right, okay. Yeah. Goodness. No, yeah, I didn't watch that. Although there is an Uzumaki thing coming out quite soon. That's the one about the spirals.
And that looks actually fantastic. Because
it does look really good, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen a little of the B-reel of it, and it just looks so good because they're able to adapt Ito's style in such a good way.
It's in monochrome for one.
Yes, which that was a great decision because I think that'll make it a bit easier for them to capture all of, like, the crazy shit that happens in Uzumaki.
Mm-hmm. Uzumaki is my favorite Junji Ito work. I mean, I started reading that when it was published in Pulp magazine back in like the late 1990s, whenever it was, or early 2000s maybe. I'm thinking, what the hell is this? It's so bloody weird. But yeah, it's really good. I don't know, this new Netflix thing will probably just adapt a bunch of short stories. And some of the short stories, they can be a bit hit and miss. They've often got quite interesting imagery in them, but sometimes the story is just kind of like, what just happened? What?
Interesting.
Well, from the article, it says it's going to be adapting Tomi, Soichi, and then The Hanging Balloons. Which Yeah, I've read The Hanging Balloons, and that is really freaking good.
Yeah, it's so disturbing.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know.
If you haven't read The Hanging Balloons, go purchase like the Junji Ito collection book called Shiver.
Yeah.
That's like one of the main stories in it.
It's on the cover. The balloons. Oh.
The Hanging Balloons. It's just so unique with like everything.
Never
that
want
happens
to sleep again.
And I will say the only my favorite Junji Ito story is The Fault at Amigari Falls.
Or
is that the right name?
Yeah, that was the mystery of the Amagora Fault or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And man, it's so good, and it's also so memeable. I absolutely love it.
And Steven Universe took some of the imagery from that. I don't know if you ever watched that. Yeah, that's
no,
where
I didn't.
Because it's got these like people shaped holes in the wall, and there's like people are drawn to it because like there's a hole just for them.
Yes. <It's> like,
But in Steven Universe, the gems are born from walls, and when they kind of come out, there's a hole that's shaped like a person that they've come out of. And there's a place called the Kindergarten, which is just like a whole big cliff full of people-shaped holes. And it's clearly a Junji Ito reference. I think that's quite amazing that a kid's cartoon like that is referencing the most disturbing horror I've probably ever read.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys do with that stuff. I've only seen a little bit of Junji Ito, and every time it bothered me so much. There's that one where like he squeezes like all of his zits onto the girl's face. That image has never left my like retina. It's burned into the back of it.
Yeah. The thing is, you will never get any like weird shit, any other weird shit from any other person. It's amazing and awesome to look at.
I mean, it's obviously, I respect his creativity a lot, but I can't do it. It's too fucking gross. Yeah.
Well, he just also has a lot of silly, interesting stuff that goes around in his head. Like, he has his whole, like, manga about his cats, and that's adorable, but also very creepy. It's just, like, a good mix of, like, wholesome stuff with horror. It's amazing.
That's one of my favorite things about Junji Ito is how like what a happy guy he is. You just see him in an interview. He's such like a happy, normal guy.
Yeah.
My favorite meme is that one that compares him to Miyazaki.
Yeah, like they're wearing like cat ears, doing a cat pose next to his work, which is like Cronenberg horror versus Miyazaki, where he's just like looks like a chain smoker. And
like he's all miserable, like he chain smoking, but his work's all beautiful. And then you flip it to Ito, and he's like, "It's fascinating."
Well, the disturbing thing about Ito is that he's a trained dental technician, so
you know, well, that makes perfect sense, really.
Yeah, it does. Spending
every
life
dentist I've ever known was weird as hell.
Yeah, spending your life with your hands in other people's mouths, yeah, it probably does make you go quite peculiar.
All right. Speaking of things tangentially related to Junji Ito, Requiem.
All right, so this story is bittersweet, and I still haven't decided how I feel about it. So, Young Animal Magazine is the magazine that published Berserk, and they have decided to go ahead and continue the series. Obviously, Kentaro Miura died a while back, tragically, without finishing the story, so we've got ourselves a Wheel of Time situation here. They've decided to finish the arc they were on, the Elf Island arc, and then move on to another arc, which would assume would be trying to wrap up the story. It's going to be done by Studio Gaga, which is his assistants and his apprentices who worked on it with him. And it's going to be overseen by his close friend, mangaka, what's the guy's name again? Oh, yeah, Koji Mori. The guy he's known, apparently they knew each other since childhood, more or less. And they were very close. And according to him, Miura told him how explained the ending to him a bunch of times over the years, described it in detail. So what he's going to do is going to oversee his assistants and apprentices in trying to do the rest of Berserk as best they can. They acknowledge that it won't be exactly how he was going to do it, but they're going to try to do it justice. I get it. Like, I know people want to finish. You want to see the end of the story. You want to get the rest of Berserk, but it's just like Wheel of Time. It's like, it's not going to be the way it was supposed to be. No matter, even if he described any of them 100 times or wrote it down and they're going to do the best they can, it's not going to be the real thing.
It seemed like people on social media that are Berserk fans were happy about this. They feel like they're doing the right thing, and they want to see the ending, and they think it's the right person for the job, because like he knows.
Well, if you're gonna do it, this is the only person who can do it. That is true.
Gonna get to what it would have been.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't blame him.
I'm happy about this. I love Berserk the manga and some of the anime, and I, you know, if I was a writer, if I was this guy and I died, I would. One of my big regrets would be the story, which he wrote for, 30 years or something, was not getting finished. So I would be happy that somebody was going to take it on with as much sort of reverence and respect as these guys clearly have for his work. They're going to do the best they can. And of course, it's not going to be as good as if it was him. But I think they're going to, you know, give it a damn good try. And more power to them, I say. I'm really looking forward to reading what they do. I think this was the right decision, definitely.
Yeah, like I said, I go back and forth on it. It's probably the right thing to do. I mean, not having the story ever end would suck really bad. And you know, and obviously, like you said, if anybody's going to do it, these are the people who are going to do the best job of it. It's all, but it just shows more and just intensifies how much it sucks that Miura died.
Yeah, it really does.
But hey, if you were like, crap, I'll never finish Berserk now, you're more or less going to finish Berserk.
Unless you're opposed to how they're handling it. Super curious to see how they do it.
If you're a big Berserk fan, I can't see you. Like, you might be like me and have mixed feelings on it, but if you loved Berserk, you're going to need to know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see anybody just going flat out, no, I'm not buying that.
And I'm assuming his assistants aren't all going to get distracted by, you know, every new Idolmaster game that comes out. So they might get an ending in a fairly timely fashion.
Well, I don't know. If they really want to, you know, stick to his spirit, they have to go on hiatus every 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. Almost 3 chapters a year at the most.
Well, we did have one more news story. Just real briefly, the Grammy Awards are adding a video game score soundtrack category, which was interesting.
Finally.
To me. Like, yeah, last year they had like an award for like a Kirby remix. I don't remember what category.
Yeah, it was the Meta Knight's Revenge big band.
Which is weird to see. And everyone's like, congratulations, Kirby. I'm like, you should probably congratulate the band, but whatever.
Yeah.
I listened to it. It was
good. Kirby's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. They should probably also credit the original composer, but that might be already in like the performance itself. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is cool. There's a ton of amazing video game music in it. Should be acknowledged by the Grammys, even though nobody watches them.
Yes.
It's good. This way, Final Fantasy can win a Grammy every 3 to 4 years.
I don't know. I'm betting that Undertale's Megalovania remixes will like sweep the Grammys.
You think the Grammys are going to vote for Megalovania?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. Should we move on to the topic of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best shows of spring 2022. Rek, give me the song.
Da-da-da-da-da. It's the best shows.
It was alright, I guess. I was hoping for some Outlaw Star. I should have told you to do in the vein of Outlaw Star, but that's fine. Maybe next time.
Oh man, I can't even live up to that.
Alright. So, obviously, Spy Family's pretty good. It might make the list. Let's go through the entire list. Should I just go through the whole thing? What we got here? Sure. Think?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we got Spy Family, Komi-san Can't Communicate Season 2, Birdie Wing, Ya Boy Kyon Ming, Vampire in the Garden, Kaguya Loves War Season 3, not Season 2, Summertime Rendering, Dance Dance Danseur, Executioner in a Way of Life, Love After World Domination, Aharon-san, Quitting Heroing, and that's everything. We got a lot of overlaps. So I think we can narrow this down to the five essential anime. I'm just gonna put Spy Family here. We can talk about it later. We can just
be here. Yeah, it's kind of good.
It's pretty good. Okay. So let's just like go down around the list, and I would say maybe we look at somebody's list and say maybe we take that one off. And I just want to know, do we really think Executioner in Her Way of Life is the top five?
I really wish I'd seen. I wish I was up to date on it.
Maybe Dr. Kev can enlighten us on the best parts about it.
Certainly, the first arc is fantastic. The second arc is a little bit more generic anime tropey nonsense. Like I think Pizza said earlier, or somebody said anyway. So it's probably still in the top 10, but maybe not top 5.
Yeah, I think after. I guess without, we could probably talk spoilers because end of the season. What do you guys think? Should we just like put a little note in the
fast forward to the next timestamp to the end of the episode?
Yeah. Okay, I'll be sure to make a note of that.
I think the issue with Executioner, it started off cool. It was like, oh wow, she's killing isekai people. I hate isekai. This is great, but the perspective being unique kind of wears off eventually, and then it just becomes, oh, these characters, their motivations don't really make any sense half the time. I like some of them, but like, why is the, I don't know what to call her, I forget her name, the princess who just like shows up and fights people, like she doesn't seem important at all, but she keeps showing up. And then the girl,
I do like that character though,
she's fun, I guess, but
she's fun. Yeah.
The, oh man, who's the secondary main character with the time powers? What's her name?
Akari.
The fact that she has lived all of this already, but how many times? Probably hundreds, because it's anime. And she's like blocking their memories out because for whatever reason, and she just wants
every
to die.
Every time she uses her powers, it wipes her memory.
Is that how it works?
That's partly how it works.
She used it in the most recent episode, and she's still perfectly fine.
She can control it to a certain degree, but she cannot remember almost nothing about her life in Japan now because she's used her powers so many times. So
yeah, that's her memories she loses. Yeah.
And like the weird love that she has for the executioner girl is because she's already lived a whole life with her. And it's all gone horribly wrong, and that's the only thing that she chooses to remember now. So there's a kind of tragic aspect to it as well. So that's the only thing that motivates her now is her love for the executioner.
Yeah, I feel like they foreshadowed that heavily in the first couple Dream. Episodes and in the OP.
Mm.
You know, where you see the like, executioner's dead body and she rewinds it.
Mm-hmm.
So right from there, I was like, oh, okay, there's some time loop shit happening here.
Yeah.
And it turned out that there is.
Definitely is.
I think her motivation.
Everybody loves time. Everybody loves two things right now: time loops and multiverses.
No, 2021 was time loops. Now multiverses forever, though. I think the executioners. God, I don't remember any of their names. Meno.
Meno, Akari, and Momo are the only apparent.
Yeah.
Right. So her motivations, I don't really understand. Like, she kind of went into Akari's memories, and she has a vague idea of like, oh, I need to kill her properly, and that still doesn't really sit with me because she knows that the church was corrupt at this point, but she still wants to kill the otherworlders. I don't.
Well, she knows the church is corrupt, but she still thinks that the otherworlders are too dangerous.
Well, I mean, Akari is dangerous because of her actions in the second arc. She's unleashed one of these horrific abomination things back into the world that had been sealed away. And now the world's in danger because
that's
the
thing is like, that's what's really cool about the entire setup of the show is that killing the isekai people is completely valid.
Yeah.
They're all too fucking dangerous. Mm-hmm. Stabbed that fucker right in the head in the first episode. I was like, this is one of the best first episodes ever.
I didn't read a synopsis. I had no idea what it was about. I'm like, oh, this is getting good reviews. I'm going to check it out. I'm like, oh, okay.
He's like, what could I do with these powers? Just gank right in the head.
And it has great. All has all your favorite sound effects from SlimeSon. They're just all here, pretty much.
Are you talking shit on SlimeSon?
I mean, I'm talking shit on JC staff and their sound design. Weird. That's all.
I think the sound design is fine.
It's fine. It's just familiar.
Just make- anyway, it's a good show. He's right. I don't think it's top five. Then again, like I said, I'm not up to date, so who knows?
No, you're right. It's not great. So let's go down the list. Dr. Kev, what do you think doesn't belong here?
I think Quitting Heroing is all right, but there's no way in hell that's even top 10 in the season, let alone top 5.
I don't know. I really enjoyed the back half of it, but okay. Fair enough.
But the first half of it was shit, though.
See, I don't know. I enjoyed the first half of it. That was just, it was kind of a fun, dumb little comedy about, you know, what if the hero joined the demons? And then, like, they, you know, turned the dial up a little bit. And I was like, why is he doing that? At first, you're like, okay, he's just doing it because he has nothing else to do. And then it turns out it's way deeper than that.
I had to psych myself up to watching each episode.
Yeah, that's probably not a good sign.
No.
Remove it!
Wow, that was easy. All right.
Nah.
Let's see. Pizza, what do you think?
Hybrid, you really think Vampire in the Garden is top five?
No, maybe top six.
I mean, it's good, but come on.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it's probably my sixth favorite of the season, so I don't
mind. Is that because you've only watched 6 shows, Hybrid?
No! I can tell you about other shows. These are the good ones.
I can't help but notice you didn't put Love Live! Mijisaki on here. And...
Look, we all know I'm not proud of watching that show. It's good. It is a good Triscuit show. What else do I need to say? That makes sense to everyone. I also watched Healer Girl. No one's talking about that. I don't know. It kind of fell off of that one.
Oh, yeah. No one's been talking about that. I forgot that existed.
It's just, I don't know. It's fine. It's whatever. I'm watching Shikamori-san, which honestly, episodes
awesome was fine. Whatever.
It had one good episode with like the love interest. Like that was pretty good. But I don't know. I'm watching Dragon Quest and I'm watching like
Dragon Quest. Great.
Dragon Quest.
I wish you could put Dragon Quest on this list.
I wish I could say how good that intro is. It's one of the best intros of the year. I love it. But that's not going to make this list, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, back to my suggestion. I think we all can agree that Birdie Wing probably deserves a spot in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have Birdie Wing on there.
I'll put Birdie Wing at 5 for now. I think we all...
Golf Mafia.
It's golf. Like objectively... like problem, it's not problematic. It's got like a very amateur feel to it, but man, it's weirdly fun and stupid in a good way.
Well, I'd say that it doesn't have an amateur feel to it. It has really good directing, like the use of like music and just the all the different shots and all the different themes that are set up and leading.
They
to all
play
the
a song
really
every time she hits the ball. Okay, every time.
I think they have a limited budget, but they have a lot of good talent.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. They're doing the most they can with what they have.
Yeah, and it's
they're really hiding fun. Their budget. I would agree with that. Yeah. Is it you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not watching it, but I feel like you guys want to put your boy Kong Ming in there.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's wonderful.
Yo, May. I can think of like 3 ways of saying it. So I'll take off Vampire in the Garden.
By the way, Doc, how are you watching Summertime Rendering? Is that legal in your country at this point?
No.
Okay, there we go. I really wanted to watch that. Like, I really, every time I hear about it, even back all the way in the season preview, I was like, damn, that sounds fascinating.
It's so good, Rick. It's fantastic. No, if it actually was legal to watch and you could all watch it, I would be fighting tooth and nail to have that number one.
Summertime Rendering.
Yeah, I'm not going to because I'm the only one that's watched it, and I'm watching it via dubious ways. I mean, Disney Plus have it. They're showing it in Australia and New Zealand. They're not showing it like anywhere else. Well, they're showing it in Japan and like other.
Damn, it's like the only countries we don't have people in.
Yeah, and I don't really get that. Get this set. I get why they're doing that. Like Netflix has been doing it, and everybody hates it. Well, most of the anime fandom does.
But Deck in our Discord chat was saying that Disney Plus have done the same thing with all of the K dramas that they license. So they license them for use in Asia, and they also come to Australia and New Zealand just as part of just that kind of geographical block. And then they don't release them anywhere else.
Fucking bastards!
So, you know, perhaps, you know, there's a possibility they may treat anime the same way. They maybe just don't give a shit about anime in the West. I mean, they don't really need the money from it. They're obviously trying to build an audience in Asia, so they're using anime to do that. But they don't need to use anime to build an audience in the West, because they have a built-in audience with Marvel and Star Wars and, you know, Disney films, Pixar, stuff like that. They just, there may not be a plan to have the anime that license. It may not be available ever.
Oh my god.
I could be scaremongering. You know, tomorrow maybe they'll announce that it'll come to Disney Plus in July or something. Hmm. But we've heard not a word from them at all about this. And it's a real shame, because the manga has just started being published in English. I picked up the first volume just like 2 days ago from the bookshop. So clearly the book publishers are expecting it to be a big thing and to be released here. But what if they never do that?
Honestly, if they don't release that eventually, I will sail the seven seas for it, because yeah. I want to see this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. It is a bit like a cross between Higurashi and ReZero. And it takes the best parts of both of those. And it has pretty girls in it.
So it's just like straight up horror, as you're saying.
There is some straight up horror and dread and brutal violence and some really, really dark plot twists and a really interesting kind of mystery that just keeps on getting new facets to it with every episode. It's so intriguing. It's just, I look forward to every single episode. It's so good.
Yeah, nothing better than unexpected brutal violence.
Yep.
I got Higurashi by Dawn of the Witch the other day. There's a flashback sequence where his mom full on gets decapitated in front of him, and they didn't cut it away. They didn't go to like a red shadow for the blood spray. They full on cut her head off with an axe right in front of him, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Wow. I wasn't ready for that.
Nice.
I was not prepared.
Nice.
Nice. Nice decapitation right in front of the 5-year-old child.
Well, I guess.
I was like, no wonder he repressed that shit.
It wasn't
nice. Right, so we have Spy X Family. Your boy!
Kyo Ming, or Party Picome, however you want to say it, and Birdie Wing. Those are pretty much on there.
Yeah. Then how about?
Yeah, I feel like after Love After World Domination should be on there.
Yeah, definitely. I like
Love After.
I love that show.
I like it a lot. There are other things I like more, but it's good. I especially like the main female character.
Yeah. She's so great. Yeah. I really love they introduced her family. Her family is really fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her dad.
And I love her backstory with the Green Ranger guy. That was hilarious.
That was great. He's so afraid of her.
He's like, I created this.
She doesn't get it at all. That God, that cracked me up. She's like, oh, you held back on me. He's like, oh my God, I almost died.
Yes.
This show is what I wish that other show about the monster development agency was. Like, this is what I wanted. I get all the Sentai stuff. I get all the weird monster stuff. And it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Yes. I brought it up like 3 other times, but I'm going to do it one more time. That this exact storyline happened on like a parody of Sentai called Car Ranger that they based Power Rangers Turbo on. And it worked just as well in live action. In fact, it might've been even funnier in live action.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Just, it's so wacky and so fun. It like, it has so much energy, like the beach episode. Like you think it's like a beach episode, but it's just like, oh, the main girl is like going undercovers into the good guy's base. And, I say undercover with air quotes, and then just everything that happens, and it's just so funny.
I just love that they introduced Beast Princess, because I love Beast Princess.
Yeah, and Beast Princess is just taking it all so seriously. It's like, oh, what is she doing? Is she goofing off? And then something silly, like some explosion happens, and then she completely misses the point.
I wish we could get more of the old guy that runs the team. I wish we get more of him, because he's really fucking funny.
Yes, the Green Ranger dude. Oh, and the professor. I love the professor.
I love the professor.
We haven't seen the professor much at all.
He only pops up once in a while, but every time he does, he's funny as hell.
Yeah, he is so good. Like, first few episodes, I just love how in the first episode, he completely misunderstands what Gojo, the main character, well, the main lead, male lead is like talking about. He's like, "Gojo-kun, I support you fully. Go for and chase your heart." And it's just like so hilarious. Like, this is what I really love about like coming into anime. It's just some stuff can be really over the top and just
some jokes, some concepts really only work in anime, and this is one of them.
Sometimes I forget that like they do have some animation chops because it doesn't always feel like that. And then in the most recent episode, I don't know if you guys watched, it was like yesterday's episode or something. They have the school festival and you have like the crazy new Yuri character just like chasing her down. I'm like, oh damn, she's like jumping off the walls and stuff. I'm like, this is like actually really good.
Yeah, like there's a lot of good fight animation in the first few episodes.
And when she like, I'm sorry, I have bad with names. The main female character.
Asumi.
Yeah, when she just like kind of like randomly jabs him, there's always like a giant pound and like a effect.
Yeah, every time. She's like, oh no, I'm too embarrassed that she like breaks his ribs.
Yep.
But one of my favorite scenes is still when she was mad at him for going out with the Pink Ranger, so she hit him for real.
Mm-hmm. I know you never betray me. Like, stop fighting me
though. But I'm still hitting you anyway.
It's the best. And it just works so well, especially when it's contrasted with the Green Ranger, because you get an idea of that Gojo is definitely not a like an average dude as well.
Nope.
Honestly, like, there's just that one part of the show that always kills me is when they have the fight scene, like, you know, with all like their version of putties or foot soldiers and the other Rangers, and he just cuts to them just hanging out. Mm-hmm. The fact that it did, that still works. Like, no one ever goes, I wonder what's going on with the Red Ranger.
They all know.
Yeah.
So we have a few more we need to get rid of to get a top five here. Rek, do you think Aharon-san needs to be on this list?
I think it does, but I guess nobody else does.
No.
Well, it's my favorite show of the season.
I think we have one more spot open, and we have four shows. We got to pick one. So we have Komi-san Can't Communicate Season 2, Kaguya Season 3. If we just said no sequels, we could eliminate that, but that's not what we do here. This is not the collab. And then Dance Dance Dance, you're an Aharon. So, I don't know.
I cannot really support Dance Dance Dance, who are a show about draft-necked people dancing that T-Grip likes. I can't support that.
Toxic masculinity requiem.
Toxic. Toxic Rexquinity.
It is supported by Seattle Mariners fans, so I can't support it.
It's a fair case.
I mean, Kaguya is fantastic, as usual.
I mean, you might as well just put Kaguya on there. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, I think Kaguya is better than Komi.
I will say, I just really, just I love a lot of the sweet moments in Komi-san. They just always get me for some reason. And they went on the school trip, and Komi, for the first time, had like a full, like, 3-minute conversation. I'm like, oh man, like that actually kind of hit me. And the comedy is definitely not as good as Kaguya, and Kaguya has way better animation too, but I still really love Komi-san.
That's definitely very good, but Kaguya is just so clever. It's really funny. It makes me laugh every episode multiple times. And it has a real heart to the story and really intelligent character writing, I think. Definitely from this part in the series onwards. I mean, I love the manga. And you know, a lot of people, this part is their favourite part, but I really like the stuff to follow as well, so I hope they make a fourth and even a fifth season of this, because there's enough material.
1,000 years, Kaguya-san. www.kaguya-san.com.
It really feels like it's wrapping up, because they're like, oh, I'm going to go to college soon, better confess now. But I guess you're saying there's a lot more manga?
There's a lot more. I mean, they must be up to about, I don't know, volume 14 or 15 or something now. But even in English, I mean, volume 22 is now available, and I think it's up to 25 in Japan. Huh. The story gets more serious, and there's a lot more other sort of complications in terms of sort of wider family stuff. And there's also some of the peripheral characters' relationships get a lot more sort of detail to them, especially with Ishigami, the geeky boy. Some of his stuff is really affecting. So I hope that they do animate some of that. Because, you know, not everything goes the way the characters want them to go. And some parts are really, you know, quite emotionally upsetting at times, especially when it sort of starts digging into Kaguya's backstory and her awful family life. I don't really want to give too many spoilers here, but it really does humanize the characters and explain why they act the way that they act. It's not just comedy, and that's why I like it, because comedy and tragedy are so close to one another. And there's a fair amount of that in Kaguya.
You just quoted Gilbert Gottfried. Very well done.
Now, also, Doc, has the anime gotten up to the point where what's the main character at the male lead's name again?
Miyuki.
Miyuki. Has his dad gotten a new job yet?
No, not quite yet. No, but I know which job you're talking about, and it's hilarious.
It's the only job he's ever talked about.
Yes. Editing this podcast.
Are they dating yet?
No.
Yeah,
for like the crux of the show, dude. It's the war. Love is
that's
war.
This is why I stopped watching the show.
There's plot progression in this, Rick. That's the thing.
Nothing happens. Why don't they go to an underground golf league and have prosthetic arms?
I would come back to the show.
I want to mention the voice acting is some of my favorite in anime right now. I love pretty much all of them. And they turn on a dime between like super serious and broody to like super like crazy ridiculous. I'm just love that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And Chika, she's such a horrible character. She's such a horrible person.
No, she's not.
She's mean to everyone.
Oh, she's helping him learn how to rap. She's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's got her moments, but unfettered. She's just she says terrible things about people.
Are they accurate? Better than all high schoolers I've ever met.
Are they accurate things?
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes she tells it like it is. That's why she's so good.
Yeah. I like the maid servant, Hayasaka. She's fantastic.
Yeah, everybody seems to like that character.
Great.
Yeah, she's really good.
All right, well, I guess we have our five. Get out of here, Dance Dance, Dance Tour, Aharon-san, Nobody Likes You, and Komi-san, we regret that you have to leave the list.
I don't regret it.
Not biased at all.
We've talked about all these shows except for Spy Family. It's fantastic in every way, and it's very... What do you guys think?
I like Yor a lot.
Yeah,
I like all of it.
A lot of fan art of Yor.
Yeah, you know what's incredible about this show is like I usually don't like kid characters in anime, but it's not just Anya who's fucking great. I love the parts at the school with the kid characters because it's fucking great.
Yeah,
yeah.
The dodgeball episode was just the funniest damn thing. Everything Mama teaches me is worthless.
So worthless. And then she like does the grin randomly. I was actually going to take a screen cap where she's grinning at the boy, and then the elegant teacher man is sitting in a tracksuit on his knees, and he has like a fist up. I'm like, this is the thumbnail for the podcast. But then I didn't want to stop. I was watching it. So
elegance.
It starts with him. He gets like a full like 3 minute intro. It's good.
Yeah, the thing that Spy Family has in common with Kaguya is that although it's very funny, there is a real heart to it as well. Like, and the characters and their motivations, they've often had difficult pasts. And, you know, the reason Twilight wants to be an international spy is so that children don't have to cry anymore. The, you know, Anya wants her parents to stay together because she doesn't want to ever return to the orphanage again. And yeah, it's just, and you know, the little boy character, what's his name, Damien, in the school, who's kind of set up a bit like Anya's antagonist. I mean, he just wants to be loved by his father, but he's completely ignored by him, and it's tragic. And so I really appreciate that the characters are very well drawn, and you know, they're not just two-dimensional sort of funny characters. They have their struggles and sadness as well. I really like that.
Well, I actually think that Kaguya has the nice dynamic between ridiculous comedy and like tons of heart. So like you just love the characters. So you like the comedy so much because you like seeing these characters do these things. Yeah. But I think Spy Family does do it a little better and with a more interesting premise, especially for some old guys like us with like, oh, it's like a dude with a job, like, and a kid. So like a dad like Dr. Kev, he's like, oh, I like when my kid's doing dumb shit. And Anya is one of the best kids in fiction.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like the other, like, parent and child animes like Sweetness and Lightning. It doesn't really focus on, like, it. There's a lot more to it than just the family relationship. There's a little bit, has a little bit more variety.
Mm-hmm.
Making her psychic was such a brilliant idea.
It's just a great dynamic. She knows what's going on between the two, but they don't know what's going on. Like, you're supposed to be a good spy. How do you not know she's almost murdering people constantly? How do you not see this happening? Well, it's fine.
I love the flashback with the brother where she comes back from her part-time job covered in blood and he doesn't seem to notice.
Yep.
He's so dumb. I mean, they're both quite dumb.
Everybody's kind of dumb and also hyper-competent at the same time. That's what makes the show work.
Yeah.
Like, he's a brilliant spy and she's a great assassin, but neither of them can notice the other one exists.
Oh.
It's fucking great. I love this show.
Okay, so I guess the important thing is just, do we want to order it, or we just want to say top five?
Let's just do top five.
Let's just do top five. I don't really want to get into the like aspects of like ranking them. Let's just say these are our favorite of the season.
I mean, genre is so different and everything, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And besides, if we got to like numbering stuff, it really depend on like all of our taste.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so awful. We can get like 7 more hours here.
No!
Alright, fine. Let's go over them one more time.
No, hybrid. We need to make the title clickbaity so everybody listens to this podcast.
Yeah, well, we'll just make the title One Piece Kaguya-san.
Nobody knows. My Hero Academia is not discussed in this episode. Shabam! It's Morbin time!
No, you won't believe.
My Morbin Academia. Morb Hero
Academia. Alright, keep those up. We'll talk about it later. Get a nice Morbius thumbnail going, but now our top five shows of the spring season are Spy X Family or Spy Family, Love After World Domination, Kaguya Love is War season 3, It's Your Boy Kyung Mang, if you can watch it, and surprisingly Birdie Wing Girl, Girls Golf Story?
Golf Girl Story.
Golf Girl, that's
Golf Girl Story.
Again, even the title doesn't make any sense.
And yet it's perfect.
Yes.
That's it.
That made golf interesting, hybrid. I mean, do you have any idea how hard that is?
Mario did it a couple times.
There's also Super Pangya Golf, which is probably a game that I've only played.
Video games make everything
better. There's What the Golf. That's pretty good.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, but that's not... Well, actually, that is golf, so yeah, never mind.
All right, that's enough. Thank you to everybody. Dr. Kiv, that's my pizza requiem. I'm Hybrid Mink. This has been the NHA Podcast. And next time, we'll see you with the new, out with the old, in with the new summer anime. Take care.
New blood, hopefully, as well.
Well, I wouldn't count on that.
Bye.
Bye.
Venus line, Venus line.
God, Jesus.